Today on Real Radio.
Jesus Christ is, the Bible says, your creator. The Bible says he's your redeemer, your shepherd, your judge, your savior, your eternal God, the word, the hope of the world, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the friend of sinners. And everybody said, you bet. I'm so glad for that one.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 8 which demonstrates the Messiah's divine powers. It's a study taken from Luke 8 and verses 40 through 56, where we are told of part of the healings performed by Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Three Reasons Why I Worship the Lord.
The Bible says that he's God manifested before mankind in human flesh. He showed us the not only the way to the Father, but the very heart of the Father. Jesus truly cares. It says in verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue. That means he's Jewish and of high authority. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and he begged him to come to his house. Well, first of all, church, you guys have been going through this study in Luke. Have the Jewish leadership been nice to Jesus thus far? They've hated him. They were jealous. Jesus was drawing the crowds and raising the dead. I could kind of see their point. He was speaking what they had never heard before, and that he was telling people that God loved them and that without forgiveness of God, none of us are available to enter heaven, that God's the one who issues forgiveness if we ask him. And he had been so warm and so caring. In fact, the Bible says the common people and sinners loved him. See, if you have pride, then that's the very thing that gets in the way of you worshiping Jesus. This guy was a religious leader, represented the Jewish leadership. He was a head of the local synagogue here in this region. And yet you see this man coming to Jesus. Why would this man blow off his legalism and come to Christ? Because he knew Jesus cared. When you know someone cares for you, you will hold them in high esteem. You'll thank God for them. And listen, let's be honest, you'll want to be near them. When you understand that people are gentle and compassionate and loving, when push comes to shove, that's the people you want to spend your time with at the end of the day. This man, with all of the power and prestige and influence he had in the community, he's coming to Jesus. He's not only coming, he's falling down, and he's begging Jesus to do something. This was, according to Judaism of the day, a treasonous act, and yet he's doing it. His heart, his actions are communicating clearly that he needs to get to Jesus as fast and as close as he can. These words, falling down and begging, it's parakaleo in the Greek, and it means that he came alongside Jesus. Watch this. It's with an urgent violence. He comes to Jesus, going through the crowd, and prostrates himself down, and he's crying out to Jesus. This guy has given up his robes. He's given up his ring. He's given up his glory, and he falls down, and he's desperate. Jesus, come to my house. My daughter is near death. Have you ever had a sick kid? Have you ever had a crisis in your life when you throw off all that stuff? When something is big enough, you blow off appearances. Now, you and I live in a very padded culture. Certainly, we have problems. But for some people, maybe in the audience here this morning, you've never been desperate before God. You haven't had to be desperate before God. Time comes in life when that moment hits us, and you don't care what you look like, you don't care what you're wearing. Look, have you ever been so sick? So sick that if, let's say, the paramedics have to come to your house, you're that sick. You care what you're wearing? If you're that sick, you don't care if you're naked. You just want to feel better. You ever been in the hospital? All right, put this on. If you're not, and doctors know this, nurses know this. If you're not sick, you're going to go, I talked to my dad. Oh, man. What's the front? When you're really sick, if it means help, put it on. Give it to me. It's so, so true. And here this man is absolutely in desperate need. And he's calling out. Jesus Christ, my friend, truly cares because he's God alone, says the Bible. And he cares. And you think about this. And I'm only going to give you a few titles of what's found in the Bible. Listen to this. Why can I be rest assured that Jesus cares for me? You might be a big corporate executive wheeling and dealing. There's going to come a time when you need the care and the love of Jesus. Maybe you're somebody that's down and out. Whoever you might be, Jesus cares. And listen to his qualifications. I'm only going to give you a few of them. Jesus Christ is, the Bible says, your creator. The Bible says he's your redeemer, your shepherd, your judge, your savior, your eternal God, the word, the hope of the world, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the friend of sinners. And everybody said, amen. You bet. I'm so glad for that one. That he's the Lord God, that he's the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who died and rose again from the dead. That's Jesus Christ, and I only gave you a fraction of his titles. That's the one I'm glad, and I'll gladly worship. The reason why I worship him is because he is qualified to receive my worship. I got to tell you, before I was a Christian, I loved things. I loved airplanes, and I loved cars. And I got to, and, you know, as I got older, I loved money. I had all these idols. I didn't have something carved out, you know, and I didn't have a little statue I'd bow down to, and whoa, I didn't have a totem pole in my backyard. No, I had a more sophisticated set of idols. As a little kid, I loved airplanes, and so I would hang around the airport all the time until I was able to fly on my own. And I loved cars, and I loved fast cars. And I don't need to talk any more about that part. I don't want to get into that. But then when you start making money, I was making too much money at 19 years of age, and it was legal. It was legal. But when you begin to get these things, listen, in your life, that can take the place of God. I began to look to these things as my sources. I don't care what that guy says. I've got this. I don't care what she says. I can do this. And I don't care about anybody because I've got this much money. Hey, the Bible says, watch out about money because it can sprout wings and fly away. And if you're not careful, the IRS will put a jet engine on it. And it will rocket away. The Bible says some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will trust in the Lord our God. And so he's worthy of my worship. He's the reason. And when I think about that, the Bible tells us over and over again that he is absolutely to be adored. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that there is salvation in no other name, says the Bible. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus. I wonder if Anna Nicole called out to Jesus. Every time I see someone where the news is there and you wonder. And I wondered, I told you before, we were praying moments before Saddam Hussein was hung to death. And we prayed, oh God, cause him to call out to you. See, Jack, are you sick? Are you insane? Do you understand how right it was for Saddam Hussein to die that way at the millions of people he abused and the hundreds of thousands of people he killed? I understand that. But do you understand that Jesus and the scriptures and God of the Old Testament and New says that he does not take delight in the death of the wicked? That Jesus Christ died for all men to be saved? And I was praying, oh Lord, cause Saddam to call out to you. Unfortunately, his last words are recorded forever to be heard. What about Anna Nicole? A messed up, abused, and horrible life. What do you see when you look at her? Some blonde bimbo? Don't you see a little girl who was probably messed up in life and some girl who grew up never getting real, true, godly love from anybody? She gave it away trying to find something back in return. What was her last words? We may never know. But God loved Anna Nicole so much that he sent his only begotten son that if she would have believed in him, she would not have perished but had everlasting life. Maybe it's true for your life. Maybe you're not a Saddam Hussein or an Anna Nicole, but maybe you are saying today, I don't need Jesus. Oh my goodness. Don't say that too loud. Do you understand what you're saying? I'm not inviting you to know religion. I'm asking you to be introduced to God. You're like the little gingerbread man who ran away from his creator. You need to come back home, man. You think you got the little buttons right there on your own? God gave you those buttons. Think you got that funny, goofy smile? God gave you that. Running around chasing the cow, jumping over the fence and playing with the dog. God gave you the ability to do that. Acting all puffed up. God made you. You need to come home. And there's going to come a day when God's going to call the loan on life. And he's going to say, you know what? Time's up. Perfectly, Jesus knew perfectly what was going on. That's another reason why I worship him. Verse 42 says, for ye, this man had an only daughter. You need to mark that word, only daughter. How old was she? About the age of 12. And the word says here, she was dying. The word in Greek means her life is leaving her. Her life is leaving. She's losing life. She's so sick. You see that butt that's right there? That's a big, ugly, nasty word here. You know what it means? The girl is dying. The man is urgent. He's coming to Jesus. He's fallen on his face. And you know what's happening? There is a huge crowd just moving with inertia, the momentum. And it's as though seemingly on the surface, nobody cares. It almost looks like Jesus doesn't even care. It says, but as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Notice it's a capital H. The multitudes thronged Jesus. This man's thinking, I can't even get to Jesus. You ever feel like that? You shouldn't, but you could feel like it. Jesus knows perfectly how someone feels. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:14 regarding Jesus Christ, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, that is, believe in him. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help or grace in the time of need. You hear that verse? You ought to note that verse. That's Hebrews 4:14-16. You know what that means? Jesus is saying, the Bible is saying, God is saying, you know what? You need something? I not only don't want you to just to pray about it, I want you to pray like this. I want you to pray believing that when you pray, it blows the veil open in heaven and your request comes before your Father above, so boldly that the angels are listening in on the whole thing. When the Christian prays, we have a high priest, it's Jesus Christ, and he walks up before his Father and he says, Father, Jack's got a need. He's a high priest. What do you tell a priest for? Well, to represent you. You know what? I rejoice that my Bible tells me to fly direct. Fly nonstop, straight to Jesus. Dear Lord God, please, I need you now. And Jesus says, Father, Jack's crying out. Let's answer his request. He's in need. It says to come boldly. Have you ever seen little kids when they're just that cool age? It's somewhere between 2 and 7. And their dad or mom could be the big wheel corporate executive and all that stuff. But when they come to the office, you know what? All the protocol goes out the window, man. The kids are here. And people, they have their clipboards, and the guy's got a desk, you know, 9 miles wide, and the kids, they don't care. They do a hurdle on the desk. There's candy flying around. The dad's hugging and smooching on them. Life is glorious. Think about that. Everybody else has to make an appointment, but not his kids. Hey, when you pray, you don't have to make an appointment. Oh, Jesus, when you have some time, he's God. And the Bible says his ears are open to our prayer, to our cry, constantly. Oh, what needless things we bear, all because we fail to take it to God in prayer. I think it's Smith Wigglesworth. What a name, huh? Wrote a great book. Why pray when you can worry? and it's an insult. People go around worrying, oh, I'm so worried, sick. Have you prayed about it? No. Talk to God about it. Call out to him. This man is desperate, and he's calling out. The second reason why we worship the Lord is because Jesus Christ is my answer. He's your answer. I hope you realize that, verses 43 to 48. And here's the reason why. Right in the middle of all this thing about this man crying out to Jesus, there is another event that spins off of this. And here you go. It's quite amazing because this woman would not have had it turn out the way that it does. A woman's life is wasting away. He answers, that is, the Lord answers her fears, and he answers ours too and mine as well. Verse 43, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all of her livelihood, all of her money on physicians and could not be healed by any of them, came from behind, note the wording, came from behind, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Does anybody remember what Luke's occupation was? A medical doctor, schooled probably in Athens, Greece, as they were in that time, and Luke now is back home in Israel. A medical doctor. Luke's gospel is one of three that record this account, but Luke is the only one that uses medical terms that he learned in college. He uses real medical terms. For that, we have a great insight into what's going on here. Number one, Luke gives sufficient Greek wording for the situation, and I pray that it's not offensive to anybody. The word means that she's hemorrhaging. The word means that it's a female nature of hemorrhaging. She has a severe discharge for how long? 12 years. This is not normal. If she's Jewish, it's tough. If she's Gentile, it's even worse. You see, why do you bring that up? Because we don't know what or who she is, where she comes from. We don't know. If she's Jewish, then the law of Moses applies to her. And if she's a Gentile, in that world, nothing applies to her. She's as good as dead. It's not good either way. 12 years, she's been bleeding. And according to the Levitical law of the Old Testament, this woman who was now pronounced unclean by a ruler of the synagogue, that was his job. She was not allowed to be involved in public worship. She couldn't get near people. Number two, she defiled her family, her bedding, her home, her where she lived. She was a Levitical or ritual defilement. Also, she would have been ostracized from society. You see why it says here in the scripture that she came behind Jesus? The word means stealth. She came up to Jesus, sneaking up to him. Why? She was not allowed to be near public people, or else she would defile them according to the law. What she did secretly. What she did, she had to make plans that nobody else was around. What a life! For how long? 12 years. What a horrible life. The Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 15, verses 20 to 23, anybody who touched her was unclean. Wherever she sat was declared unclean. Her bed was unclean. And anybody who came near her and was defiled by her, just on her normal monthly cycle, they were unclean until evening. That's just normal. This wasn't once a month. This was how long? 12 years she's bleeding. Alone and lonely. 12 years bleeding. Can you imagine? Listen, anemic. Her hematocrit, her blood volume, down way low. That means she's always cold. Always cold. If she was bleeding any other way, it would only add to the, if she cut her finger, it'd be hard for her to coagulate. This woman's messed up. There's other things that I don't want to mention that are probably associated with this. This woman is somebody you don't want to get near. Did she have a husband 12 years ago? Did she have kids? Did she have a brother or sister? Did she have a family? Did she have a job? We don't know. But it says here in verse 43 that her livelihood had been taken from her. Mark's gospel says in Mark 5:25 that this was a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and she had suffered many things. That word means not only pain, but ridicule. Isn't that sad? Are you guys with me? Can you hear me? Her livelihood is gone. The word in the Greek is bios. Her bios has been taken from her. What does that mean? It means that that day, Church, listen, God is so good. The day that she encountered Jesus was the last day she had any money for anything. Her life was now over. There was no more money for food. There was no more money for doctors. She had not a dime. She was completely broke. On what day? On the day that God had encountered for her and appointed for her the meeting between her and Jesus Christ. Is that you today? Oh, Jack, I'm worth millions. I didn't ask you that. Are you broke? I just told you I'm worth millions. Look, you may have money, but you may be absolutely poor. Nobody loves you. They love your money. But they don't care to know you. You're poor. When somebody sees you coming along, you're just an absolute bummer to be around, whoever you are. Maybe you're some lady and you're just the gossip of town. And you're wondering why people don't want to talk to you. Have you ever felt like this? Jesus is there to change this. In this particular case, this woman is completely poor, but it's because of no doing of herself. This is truly a hardship story, and there are millions of them every day. It says in verse 44 that she came behind by stealth and touched the border of his garment. That's a key word, by the way, border or hem of his garment. And immediately the blood stopped. The word in Greek means the moment what? She touched him, she knew instantly. As soon as she connected with that robe, she reaches out, she touches Jesus, and in an instant, she knows she's healed and she knows the blood stopped. That's what that word means. Like getting shocked. Wow. She knows this. Now, what's interesting about this is that it says that she touched the border or the hem of his garment. And here's why we don't know if she's Jewish or Gentile. What's with the hem of his garment? Well, according to the book of Numbers, chapter 15, every good Jewish man would have around his robe four blue, beautiful tassels hanging down at the corners. Those tassels announce that you are to remember the word of the Lord your God and do his commandments.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Three Reasons Why I Worship the Lord. It's a look at Luke chapter 8 and verses 40 through 56. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In just a moment, we'll tell you the different ways you can get in touch with us, so have pen in hand or keyboard at fingertips to take down the information. But first, we want to remind you of a couple of outreaches here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The first, Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs. You may have heard us talk about our television program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Well, it can be seen anytime by online means, including HisChannel.com, HisChannel.com, which also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And the current series Jack is delivering is called The Disciplines of Life, a very good and necessary series taken from Scripture. Remember that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be disciplined by Him. And that's what this series is about. We do have a link to HisChannel.com at our website, RealRadioactive.org. RealRadioactive.org, or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous donations of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.